This is really a story about, I suppose you could say, recipes for a bad marriage. And my story begins with a quotation, which is this. It's from a book that is, of course, an essential addition to the library of any young wife. It's a quotation from The Newlywed's Introduction to Family Cooking. And the quotation is this. The proper preparation of fish is a fine art that every good housewife must learn. The secret is simple, to be ruthless in gutting, for the thorough removal of all bones and undesirable innards will ensure a delicious dish, guaranteed to please your loved one. My story is called The Art of Gutting a Fish. It did not take her long to realise that, much like the cycle of tides, things functioned in certain ways along the coast. An imminent storm was announced by the sound of agitated water. A fisherman's marriage was foretold by a whispering that surged along the shore as the old women rustled words amongst them. So it was that Elka was warned of Thomas's forthcoming proposal. All things considered, it seemed to her a good thing, and so she accepted, just as she'd been told she would. The weather turned on the Sunday, only a fortnight after the wedding. Though a fine grey rain now drove in against the coast, the reek of baking fish from the kitchen was such that Elka saw fit to open the tall bay window that overlooked the quay. It was not long before a low mist began to gather about the room, but there she stood in the late of the morning, waiting for Thomas to wait and eat his lunch. Watch the staccato tap of her forefinger against that cigarette. She had been warned about the chills that strike the bones and the diseases that eat at the lungs, but Elka was not one to be concerned about such feeble things as lungs or bones. Her brittle fingers cracked slightly as she swiveled the band on her left ring finger, and she looked on through the open window as the clouds started to drift inland. It was a fine thing to be engaged to Thomas, she was always told. Yes, she replied, it's wonderful to be tied to those we love by marriage. No, the old women would chide. It's a wonderful thing to be married to a fisherman. Think of the fish. He could feed the 5,000, so great are his catches. This was also true, Elka thought. It was the nets, of course. Those were his secrets. Thomas knotted his own fishing nets, his ruddy fingers threading tight intricacies of rope as they sat together in the evenings. The lulling sound of no escape, that rustle tug of knot tying, was one she hoped to become contented with as they sat together. She caught a great gulp of sea air as she inhaled, for the window to the quay was still open. Elka had awoken at 6. By 7, she had halved, gutted, and removed the skeleton of the 2 fine fish that had been carefully selected from the last night's trawl. She did as she had been taught. Hands sodden with oil, she smoothed herbs through their innards and, before placing the fish in the oven, chose a pointed knife and popped their eyes onto the kitchen floor, where they came to rest, quite forgotten. Noon had drifted in with the clouds when Thomas awoke to eat his catch. Elka placed the dish in the centre of the table, and as she took a knife to its crisp scales, a small sigh of steam escaped its dainty pink flesh. Ah, Thomas exclaimed, such a fish, such a catch. How he had struggled to reel it in for his Elka, and how beautifully she had prepared it for him. A great job between them, he thought, and rested his hand upon hers, her fingers interlaced with his, 2 knotted hands. Her brightly cuticled nails tapped on the coarse skin briskly. The window had come off the latch and began to crash back and forth as strong gusts caught it. There would be a storm tonight, Thomas proclaimed. The wind was gathering strength. And what a catch there would be tomorrow then, the fish churned to the surface by the storm. What a feast he would bring for his Elka to prepare. He shut the window firmly. And what a storm there was that night. How the sea smashed against the quay, and how soundly Thomas rested, knotting the sheets tightly about them, until Elka was feverish in her sleep. Sweat dripped into her eyes and ran into the corner of her mouth, and she tasted salt. In the dense, sleep-sodden shadows, she fancied that the storm had crept into her head and seeped from her eyes. When Thomas returned the next evening, Elka felt something strike at her spine. A broad smile on his face, Thomas stood in the doorway in a posture of unadulterated triumph. It seemed the storm had indeed been good to him. For in his arms, Thomas bore a tremendous, fleshy fishtail, its scales as wide as thumbnails. He dropped it on the kitchen table with a thump, and its tattered fin drooped over the ledge. Elka regarded it for a moment before she took a knife and set about peeling the iridescent skin, thick as leather, from the plump flesh. As she did so, Thomas's arms knotted themselves tightly about her waist, and he kissed her cheek firmly, as if something had at last been settled between them. He was ablaze with stories as she began the preparations. They had shared it between the two of them, such an almighty fish it was, and tangled in the nets no more than a few yards from the shore. The storm had brought it in, Thomas was sure, for a fish that size would only be found as far out at sea as the horizon was visible from the quay. How proud she was of her Thomas, she told him, how his hours of knotting and weaving those nets had paid off. Elka took the carving knife and sliced the fish down its length, prizing it into two halves. She found herself staring at the pearly, sturdy skeletal structure. Was that viscera she glimpsed beneath the fillets, and muscle? Had it been dead when it was pulled in, she wondered. Oh no, Thomas replied, quite a fight. She could well imagine the power of that thrashing tail, its writhing, muscle flexing, garrotted by the netting. What a man it must have taken to reel in a creature that strong, she told him. She was glad she did not have the head to deal with, for she could well imagine how its eyes had rolled and bulged, and with a pop they would have to land on the kitchen floor. Throughout the afternoon, the pungent scent of the baking fishtail grew steadily, and Thomas's eyes fairly gleamed. Its aroma was distinctive, no doubt because of its size, something akin to meat, didn't she agree? Elka certainly did. She had needed both hands to pull out its bones before baking, as she had been taught. A catch like no other, Thomas repeated, pouring himself another glass of whiskey in anticipation. His hand clamped firmly over hers when she went to unfasten the latch of the bay window, for it was a sharp wind that had arrived since the storm, and Elka's cheeks were already aglow. Elka, not one for such feeble things as bones or lungs, found herself strangely weak at the knees and her breath quite stopped. Thomas laid his hand upon her forehead, and Elka was puzzled to notice that she recoiled. She would just go and stretch her legs before the meal, she reassured him. A walk down to the quay would clear her head. Thomas watched her figure descending the cliff path from the tall bay window. It was not the sound of agitated water, nor of whispering, but it was nevertheless obvious to Elka that something had happened as she descended to the quay, for things have a way of making themselves known along the coast. Like gulls perched on rocks, the old women sat lined up on the benches leading down the cliff path. They glanced up and caught their breath sharply as they saw her. Johanna and Susanna stepped deftly before her, arms linked, eyes wide. "Oh, my dear, you can't go down to the quay. It's been closed off." "Closed off," Susanna echoed. Perhaps she caught a glimpse of Elka's eyes, for she reached out and touched her arm, gently. "And how is your Thomas?" she asked. The nature of storms is one of turbulence. They upturn things settled firmly, draw in what is far out. The sea's surface is hurled aside like a blanket, and its innards churn and swarm. Curious things we would never dream were there float to the surface and are hurled ashore like a grand declaration of the unexpected. And so perhaps it's not so very strange that a woman should have been found washed ashore in the quay that morning after the storm. It is, after all, a dreadful but inescapable fact that people are lost to the sea every day. But what induced the whispers was that not a woman, but half a woman was churned up on the shore. The naked torso ended at the line of her hips, a neat slice encrusted with salt crystals forming a dull sheen at the nape of the belly. There have been cases of sharks in these parts, Elka told herself. Somewhere, she repeated, there was a pair of legs drifting far from their owner. Old women talk utter nonsense, she told Thomas later as she toyed with her food over dinner. To say the storm should have pulled her out to sea, to say she was dragged ashore. It made her so angry. That was why she cried. That was why the salt stung her eyes. Thomas laid down his knife and fork and held her, knotting her tightly in his arms. Though Elka had always known things functioned in ways she couldn't be certain of along the coast, she soon came to realise that the sea was, in fact, a strange and illogical place, that it was better to leave it be than try to dredge up its secrets or indeed truths. This was confirmed when, at the age of 50, Thomas disappeared from the grey horizon at the point where the waves merge with the sky. With lungs full of salt water and heavy fisherman's boots, he sank to the seabed, the pressure screeching in his ears until the drums burst. The sound, as I'm sure you can imagine, was not unlike a screaming woman. Elka, of course, knows nothing of this. How could she? She likes to say his end was a peaceful one, that he rests back with the treasures he once dug from the waves. She lives quietly in their house overlooking the quay, but no longer has to leave the tall bay window open, for there is no longer the reek of slowly roasting fish about the house. She spends her days walking along the shore as she used to, and even indulges in the occasional swim. At night, with a deft kick of the legs, she hurls the sheets from the bed. Thank you.